Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Good Shepherd Lutheran Church on this beautiful Sunday morning. I'm Pastor Chris, and it's great to have you all here. If we have any guests or visitors with us, we invite you to consider making Good Shepherd your church home here in Columbia. A few announcements before we begin. After our bulletin went to print, we had a couple of updates on members who are listed there. Ray Adams is no longer at Richland Hospital. He's at Health South. And Margie Slice is no longer at Providence. She's at home. So we're very thankful for that. Of course, the big news this weekend is Hurricane Harvey. And many people are wondering, what can we do? And just so you know, if you would like, Lutheran Disaster Relief is an organization that does a lot of great work with relief. And so if you would like to donate to them, you can make a check out to Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, and in the memo line, write Hurricane Relief, and we'll make sure that that gets submitted to them. In your bulletin, you'll see the sign up for the Women's Prayer Breakfast. This is something the women of the ELCA do each year. And so it's on Saturday, September 9th. And so all the ladies of the congregation are invited to attend that. And one final announcement is that today is Summer Splash. And so this is a lot of fun for all the kids and families in the congregation. And so I believe it starts at 11:30 up on top of the hill near the FAB. And so even if you don't have a little one with you, you can always come and celebrate. It's a great time to see everyone enjoying themselves there. We've gathered for worship, so let us now rise for the confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, with all your faithful followers of every age, we praise you, the rock of our life. Be our strong foundation and form us into the body of your Son, that we may gladly minister to all the world, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
A reading from Isaiah. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, but I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Listen to me, my people, and give heed to me, my nation, for a teaching will go out from me, and my justice for a light to the peoples. I will bring near my deliverance swiftly. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will rule the peoples. The coastlands wait for me, and for my arm they hope. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens will vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and those who live on it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Romans. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
As the congregation is seated, I invite all my young friends forward for a children's message. And now is a great time to pass those friendship registers down your pews. Good morning, everyone. How are y'all doing today? Good. All right. So if I'm going to ask a question and try to figure out the best way to answer it, but who are you? Who are you? You want to tell me your name? Would that be a good place to start? Okay. So we'll use you as an example, William. You're William. But does that tell us everything about you? No. What are some of the things that you like? I know you like some toys and action figures, yeah. All right, what about the rest of you? What are some things that you like? Is there any games you like to play? Do you like to go to school? Yeah? Okay. What about places you've been? Are there places that you've been? Do you think that's a good way of saying who you are? Or about saying where you're from? How about that? You know, someone who's from Columbia, South Carolina is a lot different than someone from, like, South America. Yeah. So when I ask the question, who are you, it's more than just the name that we are answering. It's more about you and your life story, but also the things that you believe and the things that you value. Those are the important things in your heart. Well, in our gospel lesson today, Jesus asks this question: who do people say that I am? And they give an answer ultimately. His friend Simon gives an answer and says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And what that means is that Jesus is the chosen one, the one that is who God calls to be the promised person to help out the people of Israel and the whole world, but also that Jesus is God's Son. And so Simon answered right. And I hope that you'll remember that just like you have friends and you have different things that you have, like values and different places you've been, and you all have different names, Jesus is the same. Jesus has a name, but he also has values, and he has friends too, and he has activities that he likes. And that's all wrapped up in Simon's answer that he said. And so I hope you know that you have a friend in Jesus too, and that Jesus, he's the Messiah that we can give thanks for and always pray to. All right, will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for sending us Jesus to let us know that he is our friend in life and always. And we ask that now we'll go out and that we'll celebrate who we are and celebrate who Jesus is. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, y'all can go back to your pews now. Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A Lutheran pastor once told me a story about his first call in a small rural town. In this town, there was only one school, there was one bank, one Lutheran church, and one Catholic church. And I'll call the priest of that Catholic church Father Patrick. Everyone in town was very fond of Father Patrick. And one day, Father Patrick had to call the sheriff's department because someone had broken into his church. And it was assumed by everyone who saw the evidence that the thief didn't have a master plan at all because everything of value remained there at the church. The only thing that Father Patrick noticed was missing was one of his clerical shirts. Okay. Well, about a month passed, and the treasurer of that Catholic parish confronted Father Patrick about mysterious withdrawals from the congregation's checking account. And upon investigating this, they discovered that the thief had also stolen a checkbook from the church, and daily that thief had gone to the bank drive-thru to make a withdrawal while wearing that Father Patrick's clerical collar. So the tellers said that the thief had by chance just happened to look very similar to Father Patrick, but he also always used the farthest lane away from the building itself, so they couldn't get a good sight on him. Well, the next day, the sheriff's department was waiting for the thief at the bank. This town's first high-speed chase took place, going all around the blocks, and ultimately the thief fled on foot through the occupied school playground while wearing the clerical collar. While being chased by the entire sheriff's department. So all the people of the community, the children included, thought they were witnessing the deputies in hot pursuit of their beloved and upstanding Father Patrick. And although the truth was soon revealed to the town, there was some work that had to be done to reassure everyone, especially the children, that the true identity of Father Patrick was the person that they always thought, and that this person was just an imposter. Our gospel lesson raises the issue of what identity is and how identity impacts not only Jesus and the disciples, but the church broadly, and even this congregation specifically. So let's start with Jesus. He asked the question, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And this was a way of asking, "Who do people say that I am?" It is Simon who responds with, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And the setting adds gravity to this proclamation of Simon's. They were in Caesarea Philippi. King Philip's Caesarville is another way of putting it. And I've actually been there before. And at the time of Jesus, this city had been recently renamed by King Philip to give good standing to himself before Caesar Augustus. The place served as the political crossroads for regional kings, yet it also contained a shrine for people to pray to and worship Caesar. There literally was a cult following of Caesar there. Caesarea Philippi was soaked in politics. So when Simon said to Jesus, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God," it was also a political statement. It was a political statement because the Messiah was supposed to overthrow Caesar. Simon was saying that he believed Jesus is the one who will bring to an end the present order of power. Jesus commends Simon for this insight that he has, saying God must have given it to him. And then Jesus continues, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." And with that, I'm certain that the other disciples started looking at each other. You see, there in Caesarea Philippi is a very narrow cave in a hillside. And centuries prior to this, Greeks had ruled the town. And they believed that this hillside cave was the literal entrance to the underworld Hades. So they built a shrine to the god Pan just outside of this cave, and it still stands there today. What the Greeks would do, and forgive me for saying this, but they would throw someone down that cave as a human sacrifice. And then they would run down the hill to where a little stream ran out from the bottom of the hill. And if the stream started to flow red, they felt that it meant that the gods accepted their sacrifice. So not only is Caesarea Philippi a place soaked in politics, it's soaked in the fear of death and Hades itself. And the disciples, they knew this. On this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Why is Jesus saying this here? He could have said all of this by the Sea of Galilee or at any of his usual hangouts, but he chose to say this here to be clear that nothing, not King Philip, not Caesar, not even death itself, nothing can vanquish God's church. It is in this death-filled location that the church is first founded. For the church is a proclamation, and that proclamation is that Jesus is Messiah and Lord. Simon's confession would become the common property for all believers, and for it, Jesus bestowed upon Simon this new name, Peter, the Rock. So when you make this confession that Jesus is Lord, the Son of the living God, you are Peter. You are the rock upon which this church stands. We must see that the most fitting place for the church to first make this proclamation is in the face of death itself and in the face of Caesar himself. So even when death overwhelms you or me, the church will be there to utter those words for us, that Jesus is Lord and death will not prevail. Even when the voices of this world seek a cult following of political figures, celebrities, athletes, musicians, internet stars, you name it, the church must always be clear in our proclamation that Jesus alone is Lord of our lives and no one else. This story sets straight the church's foundation. The church is not a human achievement. It is a gracious gift from God to the world. The church is the gathering of people who have received a revelation from God that Jesus is Lord. The church is where God generates faith for those of us who've received this revelation. The church is where God gives us a new name at that baptismal font, a new identity that is the death of the old self. It's a new identity that is wrapped in Jesus Christ himself. The church is given authority from Jesus himself to go and do his work, including making decisions in his name. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that God gives the church the power to do things that have eternal consequences? It's amazing, but it's also humbling. The church is God's grace gift to this world, and it is through the church that God forgives the world. Acknowledging the church's role as God's vessel for forgiveness sets the church's accountability at a very high level. So, what do we do with this responsibility of ours? What do we do with these keys of forgiveness that have been given to us? It seems to me like we should make the most of it. It seems to me that given the numerous examples of Jesus opening up God's kingdom in surprising ways, it seems that we should take these keys and start unlocking the doors of God's kingdom. We are living invitations for people outside of the church to come and declare with us Peter's confession, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The identity of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church is not bound to people whom you call to be your ministers of word, sacrament, or service. The identity of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and all of the individuals who comprise it, it should only be bound to Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. As the church, we must proclaim this. I say that not just because having our identity bound to Jesus is the healthiest path forward, which it is. I say it because that is what the community outside of this church needs. Whether they know it or not, the community outside these walls needs to hear about a God who is actively pursuing them. The community outside of these walls needs to know that this congregation can be a means for God's blessing in their life. The community outside these walls needs to witness us as people whose identity is bound to Jesus alone and not anyone else or anything else. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That has always been and will always be the words of the church's proclamation, the rock of the church's identity, and it is what this world desperately needs to know. Thanks be to God. Amen. Brothers and sisters of the church, let us join together declaring our faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Rejoicing in the risen life of Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need, kneeling or seated as you are able. We pray for the church. Keep us steadfast in your word. Shape us according to your will. Heal our divisions. Protect us from discord. Unite us in love. Empower us for mission. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the earth, for forests and vineyards, marshes and springs, for grasslands and pastures, farmlands and orchards. Protect your creation from damage by earthquake, wind, drought, fire, hail, or misuse. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the nations, for those who govern and all who hold authority, for those who have been displaced by warfare, economic hardship, or disaster. Bring freedom, justice, and stability to areas of conflict. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those in need, for those who are anxious, for those who suffer abuse or neglect, for those who are hungry or homeless, for those who grieve and all who are sick, especially those we name before you now on our lips and in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for this assembly. Deepen our lives of prayer. Open us to the guiding of your Spirit. Fill us with compassion. Nourish us at your holy table. Strengthen us in service to our community. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the people of Texas. Watch over them as they struggle with flood and hurricane. Strengthen them as a community, and may they know your peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
With thanksgiving, we remember those who have died, especially our loved ones and those who have given their lives in service. Inspire us by their example and bring us to your eternal home. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Joining our voices with your faithful ones in every time and place, we offer our prayers in the name of the risen one, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please rise. Peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of God's peace. Thank you. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death in the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. You bring light from darkness, life from death, speech from silence. We praise you for the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, who comes to us in this Holy Supper. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." In this feast, let us remember the one in whom we have hope, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.